questions are coming in about disease and about health. Despina from Toronto, Canada, her mother died of leukemia. Her father now has leukemia. What can her brother and her and she do to strengthen her chances of staying healthy and not contracting the same disease? And this is
okay. This is an important question because I have to go back and say there are some diseases, and very few, a handful, four or five diseases that are actually directly connected with genes, like Huntington's chorea, for example. There are a few. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But almost all other diseases, especially cancers, require at least a dozen or more different changes even to get the cancer off. A dozen genes have to change, at least, and then up to several hundred genes change over the time of the cancer. Well, the significance about that is, if one gene causes cancer, then I can say, okay, that's a possible accident that can actually happen. But when you have to change 12 specific genes to get the cancer off the ground, then basically, at some point it says, oh my goodness, this is not just a coincidence, this is an involvement at some level. The issue about the cancer and the leukemia business is that that's a many, many gene process, so that's not just one gene I'm committed to leukemia. That's not the way that works. It's many genes, which means then it's a concerted effort to get to that cancer. And then you say, well, what effort am I doing? And then I go back and say, this is where the programming comes in. Let me give you a really interesting finding, and that's this. We always talk about cancer running in families. That's a genetic lineage, and, you know, the offspring are connected to this genetic lineage, as some of the, you know, people out there in the audience are thinking right now. And then I'm going to tell you a fact.
Okay.
And the fact is this, that has now been recognized that when children are adopted into families that have cancer running in them, the adopted child will express the cancer with the same propensity as a genetic sibling.
Oh, my goodness.
And the relevance is they came from totally different genetic stock.
So wow.
You can't say that. That's just part of the lineage. They acquired the cancer as a result of being in the family. And, you know, and the history, unfortunately, is, oh, if it runs in the family, then it must be genetically linked. Well, it is, in a sense, genetically linked, but it wasn't programmed that way at the beginning. It was created that way as a response.
It was environmental,
environmental response of learning the behaviors and mimicking the behaviors of the parents, which are downloaded before the child is 5 years of age. And in fact, much of the programming occurs even in utero, so that, like, the last half of pregnancy, there are changes in the genetic readout.
Wow.
Based on the mother's life and her perception. And in other words, this is epigenetics. Genes make a human body. That's a fact. Okay, up to this point, the genes are, what do? They created a body that has two arms and two legs and a head with a nose and all those pieces. There's the structure. That's the genes. But the relevance is, what about the fate of this structure? What is going to be, you know, the strong parts or the weaker parts or whatever is going on with this? And that's where this is interesting, because those genetic expressions occur after the human body is formed, but in the last half of pregnancy. There are changes in the genetic readout of the fetus in response to the mother's perception of the world. And then you say, well, how did that happen? Well, then we go back and say, look, I told you that when your brain is operating, it changes the chemistry of the blood, which then is the culture medium. Well, when a fetus is developing, it develops because the blood constituents pass from the mother's system through the placenta and affect the fetus. Well, if the mother has chemistry in her blood that's affecting her life, that chemistry crosses the fetal barrier and adjusts the chemistry of the fetus, which changes the genetics of the fetus, so that parents are actually genetic engineers. The child is shaped by the first genetics, but what happens to the development of the parts of that body and the systems, that's related to epigenetics. And so, therefore, as a child is coming into the world, it can be directed toward a cancer or a disease primarily via the action of the parents. Now, you say, well, then I'm a victim because my parents did this to me.
Yeah.
And I say yes and then no, because then I'm also saying, and this is the beautiful part about epigenetics, is that you can inherit epigenetic alterations, but through your own life experiences, change that epigenetics.
Okay.
So that's the variable. That the genes are constant. You got the genes, that's what you get. But the epigenetics is writable and rewritable based on your life experiences.
So you can actually change them, which is, for Jeannie in Flagstaff, who's asking about alcoholism, is it inherently genetic?
No.
Pardon me?
That's a given fact. They're looking for genes. If you look at it this way. Until recently, biology was locked into a vision. It was hard and concrete. Your traits are in your genes. Oh, alcoholism must be in the genes. Let's find the gene for alcoholism. Let's find the gene for cancer. Let's find the gene for this. And guess what they find? Well, there's no one gene that does anything. There are large complexes of genes that create these things, and the relevance about them is that these genes are changeable in their readout based on the person's life, and all of a sudden, the rigidity of a world that says there's a concrete gene that causes alcoholism has given way to a reality that it's all based on a complex of genes, and they themselves are based on life experiences.
Okay.
So
things like that, and I mean, what about things like dyslexia and ADD and depression? That can all be changed?
Again, same thing. Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay, how?
Absolutely. And they won't be changed. So then I say, okay, I'm giving all this like really positive upbeat stuff, right? And everybody's like, oh wow, I could change these things. And then they might want to make an effort to change it. Now let me just give people an insight as to why the change is difficult, okay? And it goes like this.
Okay.
95% of our life is controlled by the subconscious. And the subconscious is programmable in the first 5 years of life. Now I go back and I say, let's go back to the average person who grows up in a regular family. And what do they learn about health? They learn this. They were born with a doctor present. They go to doctors at routine checkups. And this is the catchphrase. It's very exciting because the catchphrase is, oh, Billy's sick. We have to take him to the doctor. Mary's sick. We have to take her to the doctor.
Right.
And
if you're sick at school, you go to the nurse's office. You go outside
exactly.
of yourself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So basically, what was the learning in the first 5 years? The learning is, and this is fun, because the punchline is fun. It goes like this. So the learning in the first 5 years is, if you are sick, it's not up to you to fix yourself. You have to go to the professional. And we've always told, so you have to go to the doctor. Now, what's really interesting, of course, is that humans were able to heal themselves for 100,000 or more years before medical schools showed up on this planet, okay? That we have an innate ability to heal ourselves. It's built in. There's an innate healing mechanism that is just wonderful. But then I go back and say, yeah, but the program of the system is based on the subconscious. So you have an innate ability to heal yourself, and then what's your subconscious program? And it says, before you heal yourself, where do you got to go? You got to go to the doctor. It said that. It said you're sick. Before, the first thing you do is go to the professional, that's the program. The professional is in charge of your health. The professional makes the opinion, and that professional opinion is your equivalent of your consciousness, but you're buying it from that person. And so if they say you have this or you have that, then that's a professional opinion, and that's what the consciousness or subconscious at this point buys into, and the conscious many times buys into it. Now, why is this relevant? The answer is, here's the joke. The number of people that get well on the way to the doctor or while they're sitting in the doctor's office is an amazingly large number.
You're the one that told me about the placebo effect being super huge.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It basically says, my program was, I am sick, I must go to the professional. It didn't say the professional had to do anything. That's what we go back and think about it. Billy's sick. We have to take him to the doctor. It's not Billy's sick. We have to take him to the doctor, and the doctor is going to do X, Y, and Z. Just take him to the doctor. Why is that relevant? Because you've inserted a subconscious step before your innate system can heal itself, because you put a program in there that says, before I heal myself, I must go to the doctor. Then what happens? Well, as you commit to going to the doctor, as you're going to the doctor, as you're sitting in the doctor's office, you completed the step, and then guess what? The innate healing kicks in. And that's why all of a sudden people feel really better. They're sitting in the doctor's office, and their issues are not as bad as they were just a little while ago. And the answer is, yeah, because you had an innate ability to heal yourself. You stopped it with a program that says the professional will have to tell you, you just go to the professional. And so when you did go to the professional, without anything more than that, you completed step one, and then the innate healing kicks in. But the problem is this. since a professional has been given in your subconscious mind authority over your health, because whatever they say is
right.
what your health is, when they say you have this incurable thing, you have this problem, or that problem, and they commit, then your subconscious has committed to that as well.
So
and
I've
then
seen
the problem
happen.
Is,
yeah, I'm sorry, I saw that happen with my own, you know, grandmother in our family. You know, 3 weeks after she was told she had cancer, at the age of 94, vibrant, driving, amazing. 3 weeks later, dead. And I mean, there were a lot of, you know, she just gave up the fight at that point because she was told you have X amount of weeks to live. And as big of a fighter she was, she just couldn't fight that fight. And there's a lot of, as you say in the DVD, The Biology of Perception, Psychology of Change, which is, you know, was just transformative for me to see that.